I just hope that by sharing my story with others, we might not feel that we are all alone.
Welcome to the Telling It Our Way podcast. I'm Allie.
And I'm Becca.
In this podcast, we bring you stories by disabled people about disabled people. Stories from the daily lives of self-advocates with intellectual and developmental disabilities.
These are real people with complicated lives. They don't want your pity and they don't exist to inspire you.
This is not inspiration porn.
Hey, Allie.
Hey, Becca, what's new?
Well, you know, spring is in the air. The birds are chirping.
Well, for some more than others. Becca, we just had a few more inches of snow here in Maine. What's your pollen count out there in Ohio?
Well, that's nobody's business. besides allergies, there is nothing that rings more spring to me than things like first crushes and first dates.
And we love romance on this show. And in fact, we launched the show 3 seasons ago with an episode entitled Just That.
And we're going to talk about dating today, but this isn't a repeat. So we're coming to you with a story about relationships, but this one's a little bit more complicated. We're going to devote the entire show to a single storyteller who has chosen not to use her name and will be using fake names in her story as well, and who shares with us what's actually a really difficult dating experience when she was young and how she feels about dating and relationships now that she's older.
And I know that the statistics and experiences for people with IDD can be pretty grueling when it comes to dating.
Yeah, that's right. And before we get into anything, we want to give our listeners a heads up. The story that you'll hear today, it does talk about sex and about unwanted sexual contact. So please take care of yourself as a listener. If that particular topic's not for you, that's okay. Check out some of our past shows from this season about things like animals or moving out or creating community.
And we'll see you back next month. Becca, what's helpful for our listeners to know about what we know when it comes to people with IDD and dating?
Well, as we've talked about before on the show, we know in general that people with IDD often report feeling lonely. And we also know that many people with intellectual disabilities want to date and want to have serious relationships or get married and have families, but that there are a whole lot of attitudinal and systemic barriers that come in the way when it comes to dating. So just for example, in 2023, there was a peer-reviewed article by Kara Charpentier and Eric Carter about, they interviewed adults with IDD about dating and romantic relationships, and they found a whole bunch of challenges existed here. Both kind of people, when they were actually dating, they found that they reported they had difficulty finding people to date. They had some challenges with what those dates actually looked like. There were some issues around things like not having good sexual education. And then there's the attitude stuff, right? They noted that the people around them often had discomfort addressing this area or talking about things like how to navigate that dignity of risk, that thing we've talked about before, about the right to make choices, even when those choices might have consequences, and having some acceptance around their family members not wanting them to date.
And I can imagine just dating in general, the logistics can be tricky, from the money it can cost to go out on a date to transportation with dating, and all of these things might feel exacerbated for somebody with IDD. And we don't know a lot in terms of statistics, but there have been two larger sort of meta-analysis studies in the past couple of years. So for you data nerds out there, these studies find really similar themes. So we'll link those in the show notes. It's hard to pin down any larger comprehensive stats about this group in dating, in part because we haven't been asking that question for very long. We have this really harmful stereotype as a culture that people with IDD aren't interested in dating, that they are actually just like children.
Oh, yes, the myth of infantilization, right? It means that a lot of people with intellectual disabilities aren't supported to date, in part because the people around them think that they couldn't or shouldn't be interested in romantic partners. But of course, like everyone else, people with intellectual disabilities are interested in dating, even if they have to overcome some additional barriers to do so. But I want to get to today's story. And again, I just want to share that content warning very quickly again, that there will be elements of the story that talk about unwanted sexual contact. And so if you're interested in hearing what we have to say about the research, you can go ahead and skip the story. It's about 8 minutes long, and come back to Allie and I discussing afterwards, where we'll talk about some of the vulnerabilities that people with intellectual disabilities face when pursuing romantic relationships. But first, let's turn to our storyteller.
I've been out of the dating world for quite some time, but every time I see couples, it's like in my heart, I want to be them. I want to be important to someone. I just wish it was me. I'm very loving. I'm very caring. It just hurts. Like, maybe I'm not meant to be with anybody. But on the other hand, I feel like guys are stupid and they're not worth going after. I'll tell you about my very last relationship. About 20 years ago, I began attending a special ministries group at my church. It was a group for people with disabilities. I recall feeling like all eyes were on me when I walked into the room. I met Dirt that night. He was a volunteer with special ministries. He made a comment like, I'm going after you. He was falling in love with me already. We started talking. It was just like talking to a friend. We ended up going straight to dating, having fun. But things began to move way too quickly. And he wanted me to have sex with him. It was not something I wanted to do. But if I didn't do it, he would get mad and leave. And to prevent him from leaving, that's one of the things you know I'm not proud of. I'm not wanting to boast about it. I'm not happy that he kept pressuring me. Dirk would pick me up before going to a different singles group at church. One time we were kissing and cuddling, but he began pressuring me again for more. I was very uncomfortable and said, wait. I tried pushing him away, but he was heavy. Once I got a little coherent, I said, wait, what are you doing? You need to stop. He stopped and said, you better get ready to go to church. I saw my cousin at the church. I was very emotional and I started to cry, and she was wondering what's wrong. She pulled me into an office and we sat and talked. I told her what happened. She called my mom and said, hey, here's what happened. Dirk comes in. I guess the group was serving dinner. He said, hey, you want to come and have dinner? My cousin says, no, you need to get out of here. She's staying with me. I was scared and sad. It upset me because I thought I know my parents wouldn't approve. After I got home, I called my mom to talk about the situation. I was afraid because she doesn't like what goes on. But I told her, and I don't think she was that mad. I tried to tell his sister what happened, but it didn't go well. He blamed me. However, I learned before he met me, Dirk had an intimate relationship with a girlfriend he lived with. My mom was upset, but I remember that night at church with my cousin. She was like, I wish I would have been there to hug you and love on you. But she was at home and I was at the church. Things were still uncomfortable between us. We broke up and ended things. I don't try to bring this up a lot. I don't want to remember the past. I still feel embarrassed talking to my friends about this. I don't know how the other person is going to react. I blame myself and still feel vulnerable. I'm a very giving person. As a person with disabilities, I feel I've been taken advantage of. I don't want to get hurt again. I don't want to have the same thing happen again. It's not a joke. This really happened. I'm just glad that I'm done with that relationship. And I know I may not be the only person, the only young woman that this happened to. I just hope that by sharing my story with others, we might not feel that we are all alone.
This story, Becca, is really relatable. Like, how many women and femme-identified people have a similar experience as our storyteller? And I love how she ends her story understanding this, that she's going to be helping others by sharing this.
Oh, I totally agree. I'm so honored that today's storyteller chose to share her experience with the podcast. When she first approached me about sharing this story, I had no idea it was going to be this experience. She said that she had a story about dating. And she told me that it wasn't a story she shared with a lot of people because, as she says in the story, she's worried they might judge her or blame her for what happened, even all these years later. And I think that feeling of kind of self-blame or shame, it can be really common in these kinds of situations.
Yeah. And for our listeners, if you've experienced any kind of sexual assault or violence or unwanted contact, or you know someone who has and want to talk anonymously to a safe person, please visit www.rainn.org, or you can call 1-800-656-HOPE, chat live with a professional on their website, or text HOPE, which is HOPE, to 64673. They also have a WhatsApp. All of this is in our resources on our website. Definitely use it if you need it. Tell your friends about it. These guys have been doing this for more than 40 years.
So just to share a little bit about some of the statistics here. So according to some recent stats from the Centers for Disease Control, we know in general, in the general population, that 1 in 3 women and 1 in 6 men have experienced what's called contact sexual violence, which includes things like rape or sexual coercion or unwanted sexual contact. And often this happens before you turn 18.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we don't have stats for trans and non-binary people at this time. That's posted on the CDC. And among people with IDD, the 1 in 3 experience sexual violence as adults. So we don't actually know how much goes unreported, particularly if that violence was done by someone on the survivor's caretaking team, for instance.
Yeah, and we also know people with intellectual disabilities are more likely to experience domestic violence or intimate partner violence. And additionally, according to a 2018 investigation by NPR, people with intellectual disabilities are 7 times more likely to experience sexual assault, or 12 times more likely if they're women with intellectual disabilities than their non-disabled counterparts. And they're more likely to be, as you mentioned, assaulted or abused by someone they know. But the lack of resources, the power dynamics, issues with communication or credibility mean that these situations often go either unreported, uninvestigated, or disbelieved if they are reported.
Yeah. And what we need are more stories like this one shared by our storyteller so that others who've experienced something similar can learn that they are not alone. And we need more data around these experiences. People with intellectual disabilities deserve support to pursue safe, healthy, and loving relationships just like everyone else. I'm honored that our storyteller entrusted us with their story today. And before we end, I want to make sure I thank them and our associate producer, Connor Smenner, our Telling It Our Way advisory board members, Dorita Fox, Quinn Thomas, and Gavin Daly.
And special thanks, as always, to WGTE and our producer, Chris Piper.
To access transcripts for this show and any other show notes, please visit wgte.org/ourway. I'm Allie Day.
And I'm Becca Monteleone. And you've been listening to Telling It Our Way.
WGTE. Voices around us.